Open your Bibles, please, to the book of Ephesians, the fourth chapter. Ephesians chapter 4 in your Scofield Bible, page 1254. We'll be reading three verses, verses 30 through 32. And we'll read these verses all together. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 30 through 32, and in your Scofield Bible, page 1254. Let's stand, please, for the reading of this passage. Let's please begin together. Ready? And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Let's pray. And Father, we've looked forward now to this evening's service. Those of us who were here this morning, of course, heard the sermon, and we realize that tonight's is a continuation of what was preached this morning. So help us tonight as we hear that which you have for us, that to which we've looked forward. We praise thee for thy word and for the marvelous way that it speaks to our hearts. We pray that you've given us a preacher who gives us thy word, who makes it applicable to our lives. What a cherished position we find ourselves in, and we thank thee. Pray that you'd bless the service, the preaching, and the hearing of thy word tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.
Our Heavenly Father, we come now to the preaching of Thy Word. I sure do want to help tonight, and I pray You to help me to be a help to our precious people. In Jesus' name, amen. This morning I preached on the subject, discouraging the encourager. I, of necessity, will have to take about 3 or 4 minutes, or 5 maybe, to review the sermon this morning for those of you who were not here. Many of you working on bus routes and in B and C and D Sunday school, and you were not here in the service this morning. So let me review. I want everybody to look right this way now. Everybody right this way. I do not know how much money is spent in America on people trying to be on top side. The money spent on psychologists and psychiatrists trying to give us an optimistic outlook. The money spent on success-type books trying to give us an optimistic outlook. Money spent by such preachers as Robert Schuller or such speakers or something as Robert Schuller and Norman Vincent Peale. I like what Adlai Stevenson said about Paul and Peale. He said Paul was appealing and Peale is appalling. But all of this power of positive thinking stuff, trying to get folks to think positively, and all of these false teachers on television hiding behind the pulpit and the charismatic hodgepodge, bunch of miniskirted gals dressed like whores and saying they're saints, and all of that is simply money spent trying to get people to feel positive and keep from being depressed. All the medicine, and everybody that's depressed nowadays, it's a disease. You got some kind of a syndrome. Yeah, you got a syndrome, all right. The truth is, all that money is spent. When God has given us a member of the Godhead to encourage us. Bible says, and listen carefully as I lay the foundation and review this morning. Bible calls the Holy Spirit our comforter. In John 14 and 16 and John 14 and 26 and John 15 and 26 and John 16 and 7, the Holy Spirit is called our comforter. You can look in any lexicon you want to look in. You'll find the word comforter has a synonym, which means encourager. The The Holy Spirit has been given by God to encourage us. That means to keep us from depression. Look at me and don't take notes, please, now. I want you to hear me and look right at me. Holy Spirit was given to us to encourage us. He was given to us and to teach us and comfort us and strengthen us and empower us and lead us and lift us. That's His job. But the thing could be summarized by the word encourager. The Holy Spirit is our encourager. Then in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 30, the Apostle Paul admonishes us to grieve not the Spirit of truth. What does it mean? That means the Holy Spirit can be grieved. Now, if we grieve the Holy Spirit, what we're doing is we're discouraging the discourager, encourager. He is our encourager. If we grieve Him, then we are discouraging Him who is supposed to encourage us. I used illustration this morning of a husband and a wife. A husband thinks his wife is supposed to encourage him, but he discourages her, and so he discourages his encourager. And the same thing is true with a wife. She discourages her husband, wonders why he doesn't encourage her, because she's discouraging her encourager. Same thing is true with churches. People wonder sometimes why the preacher is not preaching better sermons. That's because the people are discouraging their encourager. That's not here, of course. And there are churches where the pastor wonders why the people don't respond. Well, he's discouraging them with his preaching and not preaching things that are on top side. Now, tonight I want to go to a deeper meaning than that of the husband and wife and the pastor and people and the friend and friend. I want to go to the deeper meaning of the Scripture. Now, don't leave me. This is not going to be one of those sermons going to make you shout. It may make you pout, but it won't make you shout. But I want you to listen carefully. I want to help you, and I believe I can. The Holy Spirit's job is to encourage me. That I want to make four statements. One, the Holy Spirit's job is to encourage me. Number two, I can discourage Him. Let me say it again. I can discourage Him. You see, God is more man-like, and I don't misunderstand me. He's God. But God can be cheered, and God can be angered, and God can be grieved, and God can become discouraged. And so the Holy Spirit's job is to encourage me, but the Bible says that I can discourage Him. Statement number three. Number one was, the Holy Spirit's job is to encourage me. Statement number two, I can discourage Him. Statement number three, that hurts me. When I discourage Him, that hurts me because then I hamper His ability to encourage me. For if He is discouraged, He has a harder time encouraging me. So if I can keep the Holy Spirit, are you listening? If I can keep the Holy Spirit encouraged, then He in turn can do a better job of encouraging me. Now don't tell me the Holy Spirit can't be discouraged and grieved, because the Bible says, grieve not the Holy Spirit or the Spirit of truth. Now listen carefully. I said number one, the Holy Spirit's job is to encourage me. I said number two, I can discourage Him. I said number three, when I discourage Him, I hurt myself because I hamper His ability to encourage me. Number four, so I must find what discourages Him. And if I find what discourages Him, I can avoid doing what discourages Him, so I will not hamper His ability to encourage me. You understand what I'm saying? He is my encourager. If I discourage Him, I hamper His ability to encourage me. So I must find out what discourages Him. Now, we won't ask you to turn to it, but I'll just tell you what encourages Him or discourages Him. Because the very next verse, after it says, grieve not the Holy Spirit of truth, whereby you are sealed in the day of redemption, the very next verse lists what discourages the Holy Spirit. Now, listen. You wonder why you're depressed? Because you're discouraging the encourager. You wonder why you're melancholy and sad and blue? Because you're discouraging the one whose job it is to encourage you. You wonder why you're downcast and negative? Because you're discouraging the one whose job it is to discourage you. I encourage you. Now, I've got to figure what it is that discourages Him so I can avoid discouraging Him who is supposed to encourage me. Same thing's true with the husband and wife. A husband ought to know what discourages his wife. And he ought to know what encourages his wife. If no other thing, because she will encourage him if he encourages her. Now, what discourages the Holy Spirit? Listen carefully.
everything that is listed in this verse, in Ephesians 4:31, that follows the verse, says, grieve not the Spirit of truth, has to do with our treatment of each other as God's children. Listen carefully. Hey, put that bag in there, would you please? Just put that bag in there. That's good. Leave it there and quit playing with it. Listen carefully now. God tells us that the Holy Spirit can be encouraged, and if he's discouraged, and if he's discouraged, he has a harder job encouraging us. So selfishly, we find out what discourages the Holy Spirit. I say it again. All deal with the way his children treat each other. And it is a disgrace the way God's children treat each other. It is a disgrace the way church members treat each other. It is a disgrace the way husbands treat their wives. It is a disgrace the way wives treat their husbands. It is a disgrace the way teenagers treat their moms and dads. It is a disgrace the way children treat their parents. It is a disgrace the way churches can't get along with each other. And God said, if you don't get along with each other as children of God, it discourages or grieves the Holy Spirit, and that limits his ability to encourage you, and that's why you're downcast. You're depressed because you're not getting along with people. You don't get along with people. That grieves the Holy Spirit. It limits his ability to encourage you, and so you're downcast. I'm simply saying all of these things that grieve the Holy Spirit deal with the way his children treat each other. Let me just quickly list these six things that he tells us grieve the Holy Spirit. Number one, bitterness. Now, what is bitterness? Bitterness is the harboring of hatred. God said that when God's people are bitter toward each other, that grieves the Holy Spirit. Now, when you're bitter toward somebody, that grieves him and lessens his ability to encourage you because you have discouraged him. Now, the Bible said that all bitterness be put away. That means, again, the harboring of hatred. When we need, listen carefully, when we need him the most, we discourage him from helping us. When you're down, you need his encouragement. But you get bitter against God or bitter against somebody else when you're down. And when you're down, you get bitter, and that bitterness grieves the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit can't lift you up like it could because you have pulled him down and grieved him. Now you listen to me. Not one single child of God has any reason to be bitter. Oh, you said for the highest, things haven't gone my way. What do you mean things haven't gone your way? I know somebody died for your sins. I know somebody rose again after 3 days and three nights. I know somebody in heaven right now interceding for you. I know somebody's going to come back and get you one of these days. I know that God's preparing a home in heaven for you right now. What do you mean being bitter? God said you have no right to get bitter. But Brother Hines, you know what? I don't care what he did to you. You put Jesus on the cross and your sins nailed into Calvary. God said when you get bitter, that grieves the Holy Spirit. That discourages the encourager, and you cannot be encouraged like you ought to be. I'll guarantee you, there's nobody in America that's any more on top of it than I am. I'll guarantee you that. You know why? One reason? I'm not bitter. Now, everything hasn't turned out like I wish it would have. Things did not always happen like I had planned. I have plans gone awry, hopes that have bursted on the pavement of providence. Things have not always turned out like I wanted to turn out. But bless God, nobody can take my name out of the Lamb's Book of Life. Nobody can take my mansion in heaven away from me, and nobody can take the Holy Spirit out of in here. And brother, as long as my name is in heaven, I'm God's child, my sins forgiven, a home's been prepared for me. I'll tell you what, the old scale tips pretty heavy on the joy side and little light on the sadness side. Now I'm talking to folks tonight who are bitter. I'm talking to folks who hold grudges in your heart. I'm talking to folks who are bitter against God. I'm talking to women bitter against your husbands. I'm talking to husbands bitter against your wives. I'm talking to children bitter against your parents. And you're hurting nobody but yourself because you're grieving him whose job it is to lift you, and you pulled him down. The Bible said, let all bitterness be put away. What else grieves the Holy Spirit and discourages the encourager? Bitterness and wrath. Now, what is wrath? Basically, it's just a hot temper. An angry outburst. Oh, you say, Brother Hiles, I just have a hot temper. You don't have any hotter temper than anybody else does. Did you hear me? You don't have a hotter temper than anybody else does. I'm saying that the truth is, when you blow your fuse and lose your temper at your wife, at your husband, at your boss, at your employee, at your mom, at your dad, at your boy, at your girl, at your friend, you are grieving the Holy Spirit of God. Let me tell you something. I'm sick and tired of folks saying, well, this is just the way I am. Well, change the way you are. All this fussing, it's time to stop it. Wives, it's time to be a lady in your household. It's time to quit fussing at your husband every time you don't get your way, blowing your fuse. And fellas, it's time you got enough Christianity to let Jesus give you joy and treat your wife like a lady. In God's name, let's quit fussing at each other. You blow your stack, and you blow your fuse, and you lose your temper. You grieve the Holy Spirit truth, Ephesians 4, 30 and 31, and you are discouraging your encourager. There's nobody in this room that's had more trouble with temper than I have. I'll be honest with you. Now, I'm stubborn, but I don't lose my temper. I don't. I don't lose my temper. I don't. I'm stubborn. Shut up. Shut up. I'm stubborn. I said that three times, didn't I? I want to tell you something. It's time you got on your knees. And it's time you got the victory over that hot head. And it's just the way I am. Well, undo it. You are discouraging your encourager. And when you discourage your encourager, that's why you get blue. Hot-tempered folks are also depressed people. People that harbor grudges and bitterness are also depressed people. There is a third thing that grieves the Holy Spirit, and that's anger. Bitterness, wrath, anger. What is anger? It's a planned outburst. I'll get him. I'll get back at him. That's anger. And that grieves the Holy Spirit, and that discourages your encourager. You know what fundamentalists need? Fundamentalists need to quit something besides cigarettes. Fundamentalists need to quit something besides liquor. Some of you folks haven't ever licked the top of a liquor bottle. You've never had a cigarette in your mouth, but you've got bitterness in your heart towards somebody. And let me tell you, my Bible doesn't say smoking grieves the Holy Spirit. My Bible doesn't say drinking grieves the Holy Spirit. My Bible doesn't say watching television soap operas grieves the Holy Spirit. My Bible doesn't say dancing grieves the Holy Spirit. My Bible doesn't say movies grieve the Holy Spirit. Though all those things are wrong, my Bible says that bitterness and wrath and anger grieve the Holy Spirit of God. It's time some of you boys got along your dormitory rooms. It's time some of you young ladies got along your dormitory rooms. It's time some of you brothers and sisters got along with each other. Wonder why you're depressed? One reason why Brother Hiles is happy. I say this, and God knows it's true. I've not apprehended, but I don't have any bitterness in here. Listen to me, toward anybody. And I'll guarantee you that I'm not going to let my emotions control me and let me blow my stack. And I'll guarantee you I'm not going to live planning how to hurt somebody. When you do, you discourage the encourager by grieving him whose job it is to encourage you. Something else. Clamor. What is clamor? Controversy. Ladies and gentlemen, never dawn on you that we don't see things alike. No two people see things alike. We're going to have differences of opinion. Now, what is clamor? Clamor is when you think you're so right that everybody else is always wrong, and so you have controversy about it. Now listen to me. I am not going to spend my life in a controversy with other people. Don't misunderstand me. I'm a fundamentalist. I'm against liberalism, and I'll tell you what crowd to run with and what preachers to watch out for. But I'll tell you what, there's not a person in this world I couldn't shake hands with on the street corner. You let me see this El Papa across the street over here on the street corner, the priest so-called of this church across the street, or called the church, let me see him on the street, and I'll wish him a good day. I won't buy him a meal. I won't give him an offering. I won't say, God bless you in your work, but I'll wish him a good day. I'm concerned about the health of the cardinal in Chicago, Cardinal Bernardine. I don't want the fellow to have cancer. I'm concerned about it. I was concerned about Jim Baker when he was in prison. I'm concerned about O.J. Simpson. I'm trying to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, though we ought to stand and die for this book and the truth of Almighty God, we're not supposed to be a bunch of bigoted people who hate each other and mistreat each other. It grieves the spirit of truth and discourages the encourager. Bitterness, that's harboring of hatred. Wrath, that's a hot temper. Anger, that's planned outburst. Clamor, that's controversy. Evil speaking is the next one that grieves the Holy Spirit, and that's simply being critical. I'm sick and tired of this generation of critique. Bunch of pot-bellied sports writers trying to tell coaches how to run the teams. They couldn't run a beetle race. Critique. Dr. Evans told me when he was at University of Tennessee that they taught him to critique in history class. He has his master's degree from... in history, University of Tennessee, they taught him to critique. Now listen, nobody is as discouraged and depressed as critiquers are. And especially Christian people who are critics. You know why? Because they have discouraged the Holy Spirit. You have discouraged your encourager. It's time God's people quit running each other down. It's time we quit being the judge and the jury and the bailiff of everybody in the country. Good night. There's enough good to say about folks in this world without trying to destroy somebody. And when you do, the Bible says you discourage or grieve the Holy Spirit, and it's His job to encourage you, and you discourage the encourager. Number six, malice. What's malice? Malice is trying to hurt somebody. Trying to hurt somebody. I'll get him. I'll plot against him. There's no way. By the way, let me say it again. Your wife is one of God's children. And that means that you're not supposed to have bitterness or a hot temper or planned outburst or controversy or evil speaking or malice concerning your wife. Listen to me, folks. Listen to me. I just hope under God that the world has better marriages than the people of First Baptist Church of Hammond do. I understand it. How in the name of common sense you can sit here and listen to this preaching Sunday after Sunday? You students can go sit in our college classes. You can sit in the Sunday school classes. And come to my office like a bunch of heathen. Can't get along with each other. Why don't you get right with God and learn to get along with each other? You discourage the encourager. Your mom and dad are God's people too. And God said, when you try to hurt my children, that discourages me. That grieves me. When your children fuss with each other, you don't like it. You come home and, hey, you children, why can't you get along? You're discouraged. You're grieved because your children are not getting along with each other. And the Heavenly Father comes tonight and says, why can't you get along? Why can't you get along? I understand some of you fellas. A little gal, you ask a little gal one day to become your wife. She left her mother, her father, her family, her friends, her church, just to go with you. And you treat her like trash. She's gone to the jaws of death to give you children. And she stayed home while you were gone from the house to rear those children. And she's changed diapers and fed those kids and trained those kids and tried to rear those kids. And you treat her like trash. You ought to be ashamed of yourself. God says, why can't my people get along? Now the question is, God tells us how to discourage our encourager. That's in verse 30, he says that you can discourage him. In verse 31, he tells you how to discourage him. And in verse 32, he tells you how to encourage him. Three things. Be ye kind one to another. First verse you learned in Sunday school. Be ye kind. I can still remember it as a little boy. Be ye kind one to another. What that word kind comes from? It comes from the word kindred. It means treat everybody in this world with the same courtesy you treat your own flesh and blood. Be kind. Didn't say be an ogre. Put your pens down. Look at me. Didn't say be an ogre one to another. Didn't say be rude one to another. You'd be amazed how much rudeness goes on in this auditorium. You'd be amazed how many people right in this room. I mean, I know folks in this room who go out. I know folks right in this room are rude to each other, and you need to get down on your knees at the altar and decide to be kind one to another. Boy, if I preach against Hollywood, you sure like it. If I preach against drinking liquor, you sure do like it. Why don't some of you dirty, stinking sinners that are not kind to each other realize that you're grieving the Holy Spirit? How can I encourage my encourager? Be kind. Secondly, it says tender-hearted. What does that mean? That means cry easily. You say, Brother Hans, I'm just not the kind that cries, and become the kind that cries. No, let me tell you something. There's no such thing as the kind that doesn't cry and the kind that cries. There's a kind that has compassion and the kind that doesn't. Because when you get compassion, brother, tears will flow out of your eyes. Well, tears just don't come easy for me. You get compassion, they'll come easy. Listen, young people, I'm preaching to you. You go over there at some of those apartment complexes in Chicago, and you'll cry. You go up and down the hospital corridors and see people dying with cancer, and you'll cry. You go to tuberculosis sanatorium, and see people dying with tuberculosis, and you'll cry. My Bible says, tender hearted. Oh, you say, but I'm a man. It doesn't say women. It says people. Well, but men don't cry. That's poppycock, hogwash, and tomfoolery. My Bible said if you want to discourage the Holy Spirit, mistreat His children. That's what it says. If you want to encourage Him, treat His children right. I could tell you times when I've been kind to somebody's children and warned them. Old story, but in Garland, Texas, I took a stand against dancing in the public schools. Two of our boys, Carmen Hartsfield and I think it was Eddie Oates or Mike Green, a couple of our guys, they were president and vice president of the senior class, and they filibustered the meeting. Listen to me, young people. They filibustered the meeting. They're going to plan the senior prom. And they kept talking and didn't have time to plan it and had to call off the senior prom. Local city councilman got heard about it, and he said, I'm going to run Hiles out of town. And all of that, Mike Green had the lead part in the senior play. And he found out that the proceeds were going to go to pay for the senior prom, and Mike Green wouldn't. The day before the senior play, he said he wouldn't be in it. Teacher called me up and said, Cub said, you know, this fellow Mike Green, He won't be in the senior play. And I said, oh. They had to take the money and divert it to something else other than senior prom. One of the city councilmen said, I'm going to run Hiles out of town. He started a campaign to get me run out of town. I heard about it, went to see him. He wasn't home. His wife was there. His wife came to the door one Thursday night. The little girl came to the door. I didn't even look at his wife. I said, my, you're a pretty little girl. Not his wife, the little girl. And by the way, she didn't know who I was. She'd never seen me. And I said, my soul, you are a beautiful girl. And the mother said, thank you, sir. And I said, my, you look like your... I said, is this your older sister here? Pointed to her mother. Her mother said, come on in. You treat somebody's kids right, and it's going to please them. And you treat God's kids right, and it's going to please Him. And you mistreat... Listen, some of you folks run out to the school every time your kid's mistreated. Well, or maybe not even mistreated. Maybe he's mistreating the teacher, and you go out there and get mad because the teacher wouldn't be mistreated. You understand what I'm saying? I think I'm having one of my spells. You know why? Because you love your child and want your child to be treated properly. And my Heavenly Father loves His children too. And it grieves Him when you mistreat one of His young ones, and it pleases Him when you treat them with kindness and tenderheartedness. And it says, forgiving one another. And Jacob came back to Esau after 20 years. He said, I'm going to make it right with Esau. Esau's big. He's a big guy, masculine fella. I'm not. He can hook the fire out of me if he wants to, but I'm going to make it right. He comes to Esau. He says, Esau, I want you to forgive me. And Esau said, you're forgiven. And that encouraged God. And God, in turn, encouraged Jacob by making Jacob a prince and changing his name to Israel. I'm talking to folks tonight that are discouraged and defeated and depressed, and you haven't gotten any business being that way. And the reason you are is because you're mistreating God's children. And God doesn't like it. When Abraham said to Lot, let there be no strife between thee and me. Lot had chosen the well-watered plains toward Sodom. Abraham said, Lot, choose what you want. Now, this Abraham was the rich fellow. Lot was his adopted nephew, adopted as a son. But he was his nephew by blood. And Abraham said, let there be no strife. You choose what you want. And Lot chose the well-watered plains toward Sodom. And Abraham said, let there be no strife between thee and me. And I'm talking to 200 or 300 people tonight who ought to go up to somebody and say, let there be no strife between thee and me. When Abraham said that to Lot, that encouraged the Holy Spirit. And he in turn encouraged Abraham, made him father of a great nation. When Joseph loved his brethren who years before had tried to kill him, decided rather than kill him to sell him, make some money off of him, sold him into slavery, he was taken to Egypt. And years later, when there was a famine in the land, his brothers came to Egypt to seek some food, and Joseph had become the right-hand man of the throne of Egypt, and he was in charge of the commissary of Egypt, and his brothers didn't know that was Joseph, and Joseph knew it was his brothers, and Joseph gave them food to eat and fed them though they tried to kill him. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't care what somebody's done to you. You're not supposed to return an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. Told a man this one time, and I said, look, I've had folks try to kill me, destroy me, ruin me, wreck me. But I'll promise you tonight, I wouldn't hurt anybody in this world if I had the chance. And that's one reason I'm on top side. One reason I'm happy. Why? Because I have not discouraged my encourager. Bury the hatchet. Burn it. Throw it away. When David found Saul at the door of the cave, when Saul had been spending his life trying to kill David, had taken a javelin and hurled it at him on occasions, and David had the chance to kill Saul, there he was, sound asleep. And David drew the sword out of his sheath. And there is his enemy who had been trying to kill him. David could have taken that sword and nailed him to the ground. And David took that sword and cut a little of the hem of the garment of Saul off. And his, one of his men said, "Why don't you kill him?" And David said, "I'll not lift up my hand against God's anointed." That's one of God's children. He's trying to kill me, but he's one of God's children. He's not what he ought to be, but he's one of God's children. I'm not going to take his life. And that encouraged the Spirit of God. And in turn, God encouraged David and put a crown on his brow and made him king of a great nation. When Shimei cursed and threw stones at David, when David was running to Mahanaim while the war was going on in Jerusalem between his forces and the forces of his own son Absalom, and Shimei hurling stones at him and cursing him and calling him dirty names and hurling stones at him, and Abishai, David's servant, pulled out his sword and said, "Let me stab him and nail him to the ground." David said, "Don't do that. Don't do that. He's one of God's children." And that encouraged the Holy Spirit, who in turn gave David the victory and put him back on his throne again and encouraged David. When Absalom, his own son, rebelled against him and said, "I'll take over the kingdom. I'll rebel against my father. I'll be the king," and declared war on his own father, David left the city and wouldn't fight his son. He goes out to Mahanaim and stays out there because he will not fight his own son. And God's Holy Spirit says, "That encourages me." Now you listen, and I'm through. Who is it tonight that you don't like? Listen to me, young people. Who is it you don't like? How have you been treating God's people? Hey, teenagers! Hey, teenagers! How have you been treating your daddy who's one of God's people? Hey, teenagers! How have you been treating your mama who's one of God's people? Hey, wives! How have you been treating your husband? But you say, "He makes me so mad." It is selfishness that causes you to get mad. Fellas, how you been treating your wife? Well, you say, she provokes me. Okay, then don't be provoked. It's time you grew up. It's time some of you husbands and wives realize that you're married to one of God's children. And it grieves the Holy Spirit of God when you do not properly treat them, and He is discouraged, and He is your encourager, and you're discouraging your encourager, and you wonder why you're down all the time. Say it again, and I'll be through. I've lived a long life. I'm 15 months from my 70. For 47, 48 years, I've been attacked. I've been hated. I've been lied about. I've had folks try to ruin me. But every day I drive by the house of my bitterest enemy and pray for God to give him a good day. I'm not going to spend my life hurting God's children. He loves His children. And by the way, He loves His children as much as He loves me. I'm not going to spend my life bitter, harboring hatred. I'm not going to do it. Folks, I ought not to spend my time settling arguments between two of God's people. I'll do it, but I ought not to have to do that. I ought not to have to spend my time talking to a bunch of couples that if they just act like Christians and encourage the encourager, could get along with each other. You say, nobody get along with my wife. I don't believe that. Well, boy, if you had lived my husband, you'd understand. I don't believe that either. I believe with all of my heart, I don't care how they treat you, you are not supposed to try to hurt God's people. It grieves him. I'm not going to spend my life blowing my stack at people. Ah! Shut up. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to spend my life planning an outburst. I'm not going to spend my life in clamor or controversy, arguing with God's people. I'm not going to spend my life criticizing God's people, trying to run down somebody. I'm not going to spend my life trying to hurt somebody. You know why? Because I want to stay on top. And bless your little pea-picking heart, I'm putting an eye there all the time. You know why? Because I'm encouraged. You know why? Because I got somebody who encourages me. You know why? Because I don't discourage the one who discourages me. But the reason some of you folks are not happy, your face could make buttermilk out of orange juice. And the reason is, you say, oh, I've got the joy of God in my soul. Well, let your heart tell your face about it. Let your heart send your face a telegram and say you're happy. Act like it. Go ahead. Go ahead. Go ahead and be bitter. Go ahead and have your hot temper and hide behind the fact that's caused by your high blood pressure. Go ahead and have your planned outbursts. Go ahead and clamor and have your controversy and don't get along with people. Go ahead and criticize. Go ahead and have malice and try to hurt somebody. But get ready to be discouraged and get ready to be depressed and get ready to be blue, because he who is in the Godhead, whose job it is to encourage you, you have grieved. And you grieved him. And when you grieved him, you limited his ability to encourage you. One last thing, as I said a while ago. Where does the Holy Spirit live? In the temple of the believer. So how can you discourage the Holy Spirit by discouraging his temple? That means, listen to me, that most of the encouraging the Holy Spirit gives to you is through people that he leads to encourage you. But you discourage those people, and he cannot lead those people to encourage you. I'm through. Have any bitterness in your heart? Huh? Any bitterness in your heart? Huh? Got a hot temper? Blow your fuse. Blow your stack. You're angry? Perennial anger? Controversy going on? Feuds? Critical? Malice? Trying to hurt somebody? If I were you, I'd just empty it all. And as the apostle says, put it away from you. Why? So you can encourage the encourager. And I'll guarantee you can be on top side. Because, boy, when the Holy Spirit encourages you, that is real encouragement. And this morning, I finished preaching, walking outside to go to the car after I finished talking to people. Little old bus kid that heard my sermon. He came up, reached as high as he could, patted me on the back. You know why he did? Because I encouraged him this morning. And he encouraged me on the way to my car. I'm going to do what I can to be good to God's people. I'm going to do what I can not to be unkind to God's children. He loves them dearly. I'm going to do what I can to encourage my encourager. Folks, I don't have much longer. I don't mean tonight. I'll take all the time I want tonight. I'm saying I don't have much longer. I mean, good night. My 70. I'm going to tell the Lord. In the Greek, that means 70. But I mean, I know I've got a calendar. I also can feel, too. I don't have much longer. I don't have enough time to spend one single minute with malice or bitterness or anger or clamor in my heart, because I want to be happy. And you looking at one happy man. You say, how can you be happy with one foot in the grave and the other on slippery oil? Because I got an encourager. I got a letter the other day from somebody, and they said, we'd like to see you just one more time. They don't live in this state. We'd like to see you just one more time. As if, let's take one last look at you before Alt gets you with his embalming needle. I said, shoot. I said, shoot. I haven't got but one life to live. And brother, I want to be happy. And I know who makes me happy. The Holy Spirit of God is given me to encourage me. And I am not going to discourage my encourager and be a crab like some of you are. Shall we stand? The choir will sing.